Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
This is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. This is a tradition of the church that covers the weeks, of course, leading up to Christmas, and covers four Sundays. Now, this year is a little bit unique, of course, because we will have the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve coincide. So we will have service here on Christmas Eve morning, and then we will have a further Christmas celebration that evening. The tradition of Advent is one that has been designed to highlight two hugely important life-changing realities, world-changing realities. First, that Jesus Christ has come. Second, that Jesus Christ will come again. So part of Advent in the church is looking back at the promises made long ago during particularly dark times for the people of Israel. And in those dark times, there was promised a future king and Messiah. And from our vantage point in human history, we then celebrate that that future king and Messiah has in fact come. So we celebrate Jesus coming. The word Advent means to come. The other thing that we celebrate is that Jesus is coming again. Again, from our vantage point in human history, Christians today, we have new life in Christ, but as we look out, we see a very dim world. We see a world that is yet mired in darkness. We look out upon the world with many problems. I don't mean at all to say that the world has all the problems and the church has none. No, we are all under a broken setup and a fallen world. And so we look out again at a broken world, and we then have hope in Jesus' second coming, when all things will be made new, all things will be set right. These two realities, then, Jesus coming the first time, Jesus coming again, are the hope of Advent. Now, along with this, I should mention, and maybe you know, in the Advent season, there are some traditional words that mark the season. These are words that express some of the inner realities in our hearts and minds that come to mind during this season. I'm talking about words like hope, joy, peace, and love. If you were to go just up the road that way, on Military Road, the corner of Military Road and Dresden Road, the church that sits on that corner, First Christian Church, right up the road, they, during Advent time, put these words out on the lawn. They're in big white letters. One week it's hope, the next week it's joy, the next week it's love, the next week it's peace. And these are Advent words. Again, they are certain inner realities in the hearts and minds of believers that that we're reminded of at this time of year. Hope, again, Jesus is our ultimate hope. Joy, this gives us joy that death and darkness do not have a final say. Peace, that he is the Prince of Peace, and that when he comes, people will not train for war anymore. There will be no more violence of any sort. Love, that all this is brought about by the very love and kindness of God. Now, of those four words in our church, we're going to focus on one this year for our Advent teaching, and that word is peace. So we're going to focus on peace. The title of this series over the next 4 weeks is Prince of Peace. We in the church affirm the words of Isaiah's prophecy that was read earlier in the service. Isaiah prophesied that coming would be a Prince of Peace. This was seen and spoken by Isaiah of Jerusalem hundreds of years before Jesus of Nazareth was born. In the church, we affirm that that vision of Isaiah's was of an otherworldly divine king who he described as a prince of peace. Other places in the scriptures, we read that God is a God of peace. Peace, harmonious relationship, well-being, shalom. This is an attribute of God, something that's true of God. We're going to talk about that during this Advent season. So I want to start then with a multiple choice question. And we got the screen going again, which is great for this multiple choice question to get us started so you can see the choices before you make a choice. All right? Multiple choice question. Do we have the question? Yes. In what ways does God want to bring about peace? A, he wants to bring about relational harmony and no violence between human beings. B, there's to be no more natural disasters or what some people might call natural evil. So, you know, there's earthquakes and floods and tsunamis that cause all kinds of death, destruction, pain, etc. And so we say, what if God wants to still all of those and to make peace and the world's just, there's no more of that? That's B. C, God wants to bring about peace between us and him through a relationship with Christ, through a sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Or D, God wants to bring about peace, an experience of personal peace or calm through the Spirit of God. Or E, all of the above. You can think about that. I'll tell you what happened the other day. On Wednesday, I gave a message like this, or a version of this message, at Clay Gardens with some of our Clay Gardens saints. And I asked the question. I was going down through this list, and I said, A, and our friend Aileen was sitting in the front row, and I said, A, relational harmony and no violence. She said, yep. B, I read it. She said, yep. C, she said, yep. Finally, she said, preacher, you ain't fooling nobody. I know it's all of the above. I've been in church. She said, I've been in church. I know it's all of them. And she's right. She's right. It's all of them. We can find God wants to bring about peace in all of these ways. Say just a word today about each one. Relational peace, relational harmony. That's person to person. That's group to group. We look in our world, we see ethnic conflicts, we see political conflicts, we see a lack of peace. Ultimately, some of these lead to violence, to war. We see war all over the place. We'll talk about that as we go, and we'll look forward with hope to the end of all of that. Meanwhile, as we go, we want to be people of peace. We want there to be relational harmony. We want to love one another. A part of what we're doing today as a church, we're trying to love our neighbors upstairs, the Trinity Church. This is a new place for us. It's a new setup for us. This is only week 3 here. And what we want and what we've said for the past 6 months, people in both churches, all of you have said this. We've talked about it. We said we want to have a good relationship with our neighbors upstairs. We want it to be a relationship that's characterized by peace, harmony. And that's really what we're doing today. They've invited us into a tradition of theirs, and we've said yes. And I know that can be sometimes an awkward thing or trepidatious thing, you know, stepping into someone else's tradition, getting to know people we don't know. Let me remind you today, the reason we're doing it is for peace, for harmony, to love our neighbors well upstairs. So I do hope we'll mingle as best we can, get to know one another as best we can today. Peace. The end to natural disasters and natural evil and the things that this world, that happens in this world, as well as the kind of awful accidents that happen in this world, and where do we find hope through all those in Christ? We'll talk about that as the series goes on. We'll talk about this one in just a moment, and then fourth, the letter D there, an experience of personal peace. Yes, that's true too. Through the Spirit of God in us, the scriptures talk about the experience of a believer. For instance, Romans chapter 8, the mind governed by the Spirit, we often say in our church, animated, led, filled with the Spirit, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And so there's this idea of an inner peace or well-being or stillness that perhaps works its way out in the life of a believer. Romans 14, Galatians 5, Philippians 4. It's frequently mentioned as well. But let's talk today about letter C. Peace between us and God through a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who made peace between sinful humanity and a holy God. This is the gospel, that God in Christ made peace with sinners through the holy offering of his Son, a lamb without blemish or defect, an atoning sacrifice for sin. Here's where it says that in God's word, Colossians 1. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the gospel, that God made peace with sinful humanity through his Son, through Jesus Christ. We, as a church, want to be about the gospel. We want to proclaim it. We want to promote it. We want it to be central for us because it is central. Our new logo, if we have this slide, one of the things we tried to do with this was put some things in it subtly, visually, that have to do with us as a church. And the one on the left, it says the empty tomb. We proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen. We love God because he first loved us and sent his Son to die for our sins. That is the gospel. And we want to continue to make it central to our experience as a church. We love God. We love neighbors. We make disciples. If we're going to make disciples of people who do not know Christ and do not know the gospel, we have to share it with them. We have to tell it to them. We have to proclaim it. We have to invite them to hear it. All of the above. That's why if we have Vacation Bible School, like we did last summer, we're going to share the gospel. We're going to have a gospel day. If we have Sunday school classes and we touch on these themes, we're going to share the gospel like I did in my Sunday school class this morning. That's why during the season of Advent, if we have a Christmas Eve service and we invite people to come and join us on Christmas Eve, we're going to share the gospel like we will on December 24th, here in the morning and in the evening. We want to be a gospel-centered church because it is at the center of our faith. Jesus died for sins. Now, let's look at that Colossians passage again. We put that back up, Colossians 1. And I want you to notice the word here, reconciled. Reconciled is a word that's related to peace, isn't it? But it's a little different. You know, peace is harmony between two people. Reconciled is what happens or what needs to happen when that peace is broken, when there's a break for some reason. There's an injury that occurs. There's a hurt that occurs. There's a wrong that is done. And then peace between two parties or two groups, two institutions, whatever, is broken. And then what needs to happen then is reconciliation. That's the difference between peace and reconciliation. They're related, but different. So what Paul says here is that we, people, were once alienated from God because of our sin. We talked about back in the fall that humanity is all born under sin. From the original sin of Adam, the fall of humanity, we all have a sinful disposition that we inherit as being human beings in a broken world, and we have all sinned. That sin causes a break in relationship, in peace with God. So then one way that the New Testament writers describe the gospel is through reconciliation. We often talk in our church, and this is right, and we'll continue to talk this way. It's in Scripture. It's in the Apostle Paul, that it's a matter of us being justified with God. So that by Christ's payment for our sins, God, the righteous judge, can look on us, and Christ's payment for sins appropriated to us justifies us before God. It's just as if we had never sinned. It's just as if I had never sinned. That's a kind of legal picture, a judge picture, a courtroom picture. Reconciliation is a relational picture. It's the same gospel. It's seen in terms here of relationship. There's a break in it, and peace needs to be restored. Thanks be to God that he does so through Christ. And that's not all. There's some that have pointed out through the years, that this is a kind of peculiar kind of peacemaking that goes on here. You know what happens if you think about it in relationships, if there's ever reconciliation that needs to happen, here's how it normally goes. The offender goes to the offended and seeks reconciliation. The person who has caused the hurt or has done wrong or has injured someone goes to the injured and seeks to mend fences. Jesus himself, in his own teaching on reconciliation, acknowledged this in the Sermon on the Mount. That's usually how this works. If there's a lack of peace and both are in the wrong, then both need to go towards each other. The offender going towards the offended. However, what happened? What happens here in the case between us and God? Is God the offender or are we the offender? Well, certainly not God, it's us. And yet, who has come to us? It's God, the offended. God, the one whom was sinned against, takes the initiative and comes to us, reconciles with us through the gift of his son. That's amazing stuff. That's tremendous grace. That's tremendous love. That's tremendous mercy on the part of God. That's the heart of God out of his tremendous kindness towards us. God, the offended, not the offender, the offended, seeks reconciliation with us. Thanks be to God for that. And thanks be to God, by the way, that Christians throughout the ages have recognized this and sung about this, that God, God of peace, Prince of Peace, part of it has to do with our reconciliation. On December 24th, we will sing probably twice, definitely twice. There it is. Great Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, one of my favorites. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. You know the next part, God and sinners reconcile. It's right there. That's an old, old song that celebrates the peace of God that we experience through Christ. One more reconciliation passage, and this one kind of preaches itself. It's just fantastic. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Verses 18 and 19 again. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. Here it is, a different letter. The other one was Colossians, this is 2 Corinthians. It's Paul. He's talking again about the gospel in relational terms, reconciliation. Talked in Sunday school today. What's the scope of this? You notice it here? It's big and it's broad. It was done for the whole world. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That Christ came for everyone. That everyone was, God wanted to reconcile and does want to reconcile with everyone. Now, how does this message get out? How is it to be accomplished? We may often feel that we're not up to the task, but God has committed to us the message of reconciliation, it says here. We, yes, are to be ambassadors for Christ. And again, we feel like, oh my goodness, we ourselves are flawed and broken, and yet we're called to be ambassadors. And we might also argue from this passage that it's the teachers and the apostles of the church that are really to be the proclaimers of the message. And in some ways, that's the case. But from many other places in the New Testament, we find the role of an ambassador for Christ extends to us all. Put differently, we may not all be an ambassador for Christ in the style of Paul or Timothy or Barnabas or a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but we were all equal parts of the body of Christ, and we all have a role to play. We may not all be teachers or proclaimers of Christ, but certainly we can all promote Christ in our conversations, in our actions, in what we do. Our big idea for today is this: as ambassadors for Christ, we promote him in the gospel message of reconciliation with God through faith in Christ. Would you consider this Advent season being an ambassador, not for Advent, but an ambassador for Christ? You are ambassadors for Christ. Would you consider taking that on and owning it for this season? One of the things that we've consistently said over the years is we want to be salt and light as the church. We want to be salt and light in the many neighborhoods that we inhabit, places where we live, work, and play. We want to love neighbors. We want to transform neighborhoods in those places. But also, this year especially, we've looked for opportunities with God's help to share Christ through faith conversations or to invite people to something that we're doing as a church. We've said throughout the year, we would love for people who do not know Christ or do not have a church home to get to know Christ or to have a church home through connecting with us. And so we've gone about doing that consistently for the past year, and we'll continue to do that. We've done it through Come To events, which we've aimed to do once a month. Our Come To event for the month of December is Christmas Eve. That is a major Come To event in the life of the church everywhere. People are looking to attend services on Christmas Eve that don't typically attend services. We're going to have two. We hope will be really welcoming, really appealing to people who don't have a church home. The one in the morning will be a family-style service with things for kids. The one in the evening will be candlelight and carols, again, which appeals to many on Christmas. Those are our come-to events for December. At those services, we will sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. At those services, I will share the message of God reconciling the world to himself through his Son. Would you consider intentionally praying about who you might invite on that day? Last thing today, you guys, along with doing one come-to event per month this year, about once a quarter, once every 3 months, I've given you an intentional invitation to use one of our Circle of Three cards. And I brought some over here. They're down on the table here this morning. There's also some at the Welcome Center by the entrance, and they're there each and every Sunday. And so I want to take an opportunity to invite you to this use this tool again. It's a tool that I need, I'll confess. What it is simply, it's a private list of three for you. A list of three people who do not have a church home or do not know Christ. Three people in your life that you would just like to pray for. It's a private list. It's between you and God. And they can be people far away. They can be people close by. If it's people close by, you might then also think and pray with God about, you know, inviting them to Christmas Eve service or some such thing as that, as the Holy Spirit leads you. I have found the circle of three to be a helpful tool to me in the hustle and bustle of life with all that's going on, staying focused and remembering that God loves the world and that there are people in my neighborhoods that he loves that don't know him. And to make that a part of my life and a regular part of my life, praying for a circle of three and looking intentionally for opportunities to invite them to join us here for a worship service, for another come to event, etc. You consider refreshing your circle of three today. God made peace with us by sending the Prince of Peace that we might be reconciled to God, and then he gave us the message of reconciliation to share with the world. May we be faithful in doing so. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, we've had some time in your word today and some time singing. And this is a day for us, a day for us to be with you and for us to get ready for the season ahead. We'll have guests with us throughout the month. We'll have interactions in various places that we go. We want to be mindful of you and mindful of your call to witness to you. So in the moments that we have left today and before we turn to fellowship, this is a day that it seems like you have orchestrated for us to prepare our hearts, to get some assignments from you, to prepare a circle of three, perhaps. Lord, would you minister to us by your Spirit as we close our time in Jesus' name. Amen.
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.